Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Good morning. My name is Tom. My lovely wife, Randy, is in the front row, and we have the privilege of serving here. If you're new here or newish here, we're thrilled that you are here and that you would encounter Jesus and in just feel loved and the love of God. That's our heart and desire, that we would encounter him. And we're just thrilled and privileged that you're here. Again, thank you for all those who served on Friday night for our 10-year celebration. And I want to show a video. I don't know if we've got the folks in the back from Dan and Fee. They couldn't be with us Friday night. They lead the church in Chicago, Illinois, and St. Charles, Illinois. They couldn't physically be here, but they wanted to say this.
Hello, friends in St. Louis. We're just so excited to celebrate from a distance with you for your 10-year anniversary. We love you guys, and we're just so thrilled to be on this journey with you. And we wish we could be there in person, but we send you our love, and we are so excited for you.
Church, this is so exciting. You've made it a whole decade with Tom and Randy as your leaders. It's just, we just marvel at the grace of God. Of course, I'm totally kidding. We just had Tom and Randy here this last weekend. Thank you so much for releasing them and letting them be here. They just work so hard with a leadership group and with young leaders, and then did a seminar all day Saturday, spoke on Sunday morning, and helped with just equip some of our young married people as well. So thank you so much for allowing them to be with us. Church, we really do love you and just celebrate with you here from Chicago as you celebrate tonight 10 years. And I just feel so blessed about the next 10 years and what God has got in store for you. And, you know, I remember Tom and Randy, someone told them, aren't you too old to start a church? And they proved these people wrong. And when we just look at you as a congregation, just look at your strength, look at the quality of leaders you have, the quality of people in the church. I just believe God has set you up uniquely with all that wisdom, with all that strength, to do something really, really powerful in this next decade.
Yeah. So we pray for the next decade.
Yeah.
Favor, influence, and increase on you as a congregation. Influence in your city, in your area.
Yeah.
And just favor in every way. We love you, we bless you, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
God bless you guys.
Bye.
So that was Dan and Fiona Reynolds. They are British, and we met them 27 years ago when we were leading a church in England. I may touch on that in just a moment. But they oversee, with a team of people that Randy and I are part of, Life Streams, which is a relational organization of churches that have chosen to walk together and love together. It's very relational. And so we love them. And Dan will be here in 4 weeks' time on a Sunday morning ministering as he comes regularly now, kind of post-COVID. And it is funny, he mentioned that when this church started 10 years ago, actually it was 11 years ago, and the Lord put it on our heart to just plant a church into St. Charles County. I had a couple of senior leaders, which means older than me, and they were still breathing and alive and everything. Couple of senior leaders that I'd known for years. And both these gentlemen said, Tom, don't do it. Do not plant a church. You are way too old to plant a church. It's a young man's game to plant church. And I said, thank you for the endorsement. Thank you for the faith. And the thing was, both these men loved Randy and I. They loved us. They were for us. And they knew us extremely well, and that was what they believed. And yet what God said was something different to us personally, and it was not, you know, we'll show them different. It was just God spoke to us powerfully out of Ezekiel 37, which is one of those scriptures on the walls. I don't know where it is, as well as Ezekiel 47 that Dana read this morning. It's the river coming from the throne. And everywhere the river went, dead things came to life. And those are the two kind of overriding words that we've had for this church for the last 10 years. And I believe in going forward, those things are going to remain, will remain, and yet there's more. And yet it's not a shifting of a gear so much, but it's an excitement in addition, and an excitement and new, and an excitement and reaching out outside these walls, because we've seen so many people healed, set free. And I just want to say again, our youth group, this Thursday, we're seeing kids get saved, kids get healed in our times together. I guess the Newtons and the team that work with them, you guys are doing an amazing job. And it's funny, just during the beginning of worship this morning, this is that you should restart the clock because none of this counts. Just teasing. I was standing up here right at the beginning of worship, and I just heard a baby or two crying. You know, and Randy and I went to a wedding last night, and there was a couple of babies crying, and I could see just a couple of people are like, shh, it's a wedding going on here. And nobody said anything, but it was just, have you ever been to a wedding when the babies are crying and nobody's taking the babies out? Yeah. You know, and they kind of get the death stares. Don't do that. And I saw it happen a couple times last night, and people were sweet and kind, but it was just, you know, that in particular, it's older people who no longer have little babies. Those are the ones that get irritated. All the young parents are like, I'm so sorry. I feel you. Sorry. So I'm standing in the front row this morning, and I just hear a couple of babies, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say, they're coming. Amen. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Let the babies cry. And so anyway, that's part of in moving forward. That's part of shifting gears. That's part of what the Lord has for us. It's us, but it's, are we going to receive the new? Are we open for the new? Are we embracing the crying and the tears and the, can I do British? The messy nappies, the dirty diapers. Are we going to give them those stares like, stop that baby crying? And it has nothing to do with babies. It has to do with new and people's noise, and it's different and everything. Are we going to embrace it and love people? Yes, we embrace the noise. We embrace the challenge. We embrace the difference. And that's what God has called us to. It's broken people, hurting people. And I'm so off my notes. I haven't even started my notes. I just have at the top of my page here, the family here is growing. The family here is growing, and it's going to include lots of babies crying and embracing life and thanking Jesus for new, thanking Jesus for different. And Joshua chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 out of the NIV, Joshua 3, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says this. And this is when they were crossed over the river, they're moving into the promised land. And the Bible says, when you see the ark, this is the Lord speaking to the people, Joshua speaking to the people. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, which was represented the presence, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. You have never been this way before. Like the Israelites, as a family, as a people, we follow the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? What is he doing? We say yes and amen to him. We're not going to be following new programs for the next 10 years, the new church growth method for the next 10 years. It's presence, his presence. And when he says go, we go. And so just like the Israelites in Joshua 3, we keep our eyes on the presence. We keep our ears open on the presence. What is Holy Spirit doing? What is he saying? And literally, it was John Block, I believe, I don't know, 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. And again, it's one of these posters. I don't know where it is. But on Friday, it's over this way. To my right, your left, and behind a few people, It's Joshua 3. You can look at it, please, after the meeting. Joshua 3, 4. I believe it's one of those words that's significant over this church family right now. You have never been this way before. And since we haven't been that way before, we can stumble along, go our own way, go what we've done before, or we can, Holy Spirit, will you lead us? Will you guide us? And it's the presence of God, and we're so excited. In 1993, which is, I don't know, 30 years or so ago, Randy and I were living in St. Peter's, Missouri, and we were pastoring a church. Not this church, a very different church. It was a great church. There was actually probably maybe 20 people in the room here today that were part of that church 30 years ago. And we were a beautiful family. We lived off of Youngerman Road, Youngerman and Willott, over behind the McDonald's at that time. And we had birthed two children at the time, Stephen and Kelly. We were so excited. We had two little children. And we lived in a three-bedroom ranch, just a small little house over in the St. Peter's area. And it was a beautiful church that we had. We loved it. It was exciting. And we got pregnant in 1993. And we were so excited. Our children, I think, were like 8 and 6 or 9 and 7. She'll tell you the exact ages.
Huh? 8 and 5.
8 and 5. They were like that age. And my wife, she physically was carrying the children, physically. After that, I was helping carry them after 9 months or so. But she got very pregnant, and we went and found that we were having twins. And we love twins. She had prayed for twins for years, and I told her, for years, stop praying that prayer. Because we already had two, and I understood the implications of one more. But she wanted two more. I said, one more. One more. So the Lord heard her and answered her. It was so funny. We went to, what do they call them? The sonographicologist? What do they call them? Ultrasoundologist. We went to the ultrasound, and this lady, our two kids at the time were there. I was there. Randy was there. And this sonographicologist said, oh, there's two. And I went, two kidneys? Two eyes, two hands, two arms. She said, no, there's two. And my wife started crying, and so did I. I just remember leaning back against the wall going, oh, that woman. Yeah. And in 1994, February 2nd of 94, we had, do you hear babies crying? Yeah. I don't know if it's in the spirit, but I hear babies crying. Very, very perfect. So we went from two children to four children. And when we went from two children to four children, our little three-bedroom house in St. Peter's was not working because it was a three-bedroom house. We were in one room. Kelly was in one room. Stephen was in one room. Where are we going to put these two little ones? We thought about doubling up, and now we're going to have to quadruple up. And so when we went from two to four kids, when our family started growing exponentially, we had to make some adjustments. We had a nice four-door Ford Escort. Perfect, because you can put two kids in the back and a baby seat in the middle if you really want to squeeze them in. Two and two baby seats. Not going to happen. And so we went from the beautiful world of a Ford Escort and fuel efficient to the next 20 years of passenger vans to fit four. And my wife was so excited about passenger vans. After the kids were gone, we actually bought a passenger van for her dog because she was so in love with passenger vans. But with our church growth, with our church family, just like then, we built two bedrooms in the basement, and it caused change in the family because of growth. And our church family is growing. This family is growing. And see, I just love it. I hope you didn't pinch the baby to make him do that just then, because that's not right. We will report. When our twins arrived, we had already painted. I had built with a lot of friends, because you know duct tape doesn't make good rooms. With friends' help, we had put a couple of bedrooms downstairs, and we needed to expand what we currently had in order to accommodate our family growing. In Isaiah 54, the Bible says this. Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 5. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Because more the children of the desolate woman than her who has a husband, says the Lord. And here's the salient point. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. And Isaiah 54, same verse, same chapter, same verse, verses 2 and 3. And the New American Standard, same verse, just in a different translation. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. In growing, we haven't been this way before. And Friday night, and I apologize for those who weren't able to be with us, and Friday night, a friend of ours, Jim Kopp, got up and he was just talking about going forward for our next 10 years. And he used the word adventure. And going forward, adventure. And he talked about going back, adventure. 11 years ago, when the Lord first spoke to us about starting this church, and a couple of senior friends of mine, ministers, said, "Tom, do not do this. Don't do it. It's a young man's game. You can't." And I just felt that word with Randy and I in 2012. Is that right? Yeah, 2012. Just the word adventure. The Lord wants to take us on an adventure. And just when Jim Friday night just talked about the next 10 years being an adventure, it just birthed something. And I need to talk to Jim, because I woke up at 3 in the morning Saturday night this week with that word adventure. And the Lord just began speaking to me about adventure. And I'd rather that be 3 p.m., but it was 3 a.m. And that's not necessarily Jim's fault. It is. But I just feel like adventure is what the Lord has for us. It's adventure. And adventure for some people can be scary. It can be like, oh my gosh, there's risk and the unknown. But with the Lord, there's safety, there's peace, there's excitement, there's adventure. We haven't been this way before. Again, in Joshua 3, verses 3 through 4, where we started, Joshua 3, verses 3 through 4. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and to follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. Life Church, we're growing. And that's the goal. The kingdom of God is always expanding. It's not shrinking. The Lord doesn't want the church at large to shrink. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. The devil is the one shaking, not Jesus. The devil is the one that's nervous, not Jesus. I will. Thank you. Life Church is growing. And as a result of growing, just like in 93, when we had to expand our car, we had to expand our house by making adjustments and accommodating the growth that was coming, happening, and more coming. As a result of growing, we had the privilege of making some accommodations, some adjustments to help facilitate, everybody use the word facilitate, to facilitate our continuing growth. And in-house here to help facilitate some of the coming growth, we're going to make a change that has three different touch points. One change, three different touch points. And as a family, as we're growing, think of it as we're going from a Ford Escort to a passenger van. We're going from that color paint on the walls to blue or pink, depending on, well, we had both. We had a boy and a girl, twin. We had to adjust by making a couple of rooms downstairs to accommodate the new children that were coming. And so we're going to make three in-house adjustments to help facilitate the life that is and that is coming. And the first one is, we're going to, and I'm going to have this couple stand in just a second, and it's all good. Not bad. I'm very sorry for some of you, but Randy and I are not moving. We're staying here. That's not one of our changes. But to accommodate the growth, we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to make a couple of in-house additions, if you will, additions to the family. And we're going to utilize a function that we have not had. We haven't been this way. We have not had this function recognized in-house before. But we're going to recognize someone's gifting and enhance them by allowing them to function. Anybody ever heard of the phrase an executive pastor? 2, 6, 9, 28, 102. An executive pastor. What does that mean? Someone who is skilled administratively. They're not going to be up here preaching every week. They're not going to be up here preaching regularly, I don't think. They're not the new pastor of the church. They're simply someone who can execute the vision and direction of the church, handle communication, handle communication and oversight and administration. Can I have, where's John and Katie? Katie Hooker is going to be, no, she's not. John and Katie, can you guys stand up real quick? This is John and Katie Hooker. They will hate this, but it's okay. We are going to recognize John Hooker as an executive pastor amongst us. And you think, what does that mean? What's an executive pastor? Someone with administrative capacity. What do they do? Well, he's going to oversee all the administration. What does that mean? He's going to work with the elders. He's going to work with the finance team. He's going to work, help Tom. And he's going to work and help Tom. And he's going to work and he's going to help Tom. If anybody knows me, administration is not my number one gifting. It might make the top 10. No. And he's going to work and help with leaders in the church. What exactly? Well, he's going to help improve communication. That would be a good thing. And he's also going to help communicate the church coordination of events, plans, what's happening ongoing. Huh, what else? Well, he's also going to help facilitate church vision and direction. Y'all can sit down. John and Katie have been part of this church since the beginning. And if you don't know John and Katie, they have a bunch of children. And we love them. And I mentioned it Friday night, their oldest son, Sam, when the church first started, Sam and the kids were all part of Christian High School CHS, which we love, Living Word. And we had a ton of youth when we first started the church. We almost had more youth than adults because of just the anointing on Sam and the blessing. And then he went to Bible school and he went to Portland. And I don't know what happened to the kids. They all went with Sam. But John Hooker started a commercial construction business 25 years ago. And this is what John currently does. He has a number of different projects going on all the time as a commercial construction owner of a company. He has a project in this city, in this city, in this city, 10 in this city, and he oversees them all. John never swings a hammer. John doesn't show up with his automatic screw gun, whatever those are. John doesn't do drywall. He doesn't do corner bead. He doesn't do soffits. John doesn't do any of that. But he oversees all so that the projects go forward. That's what he's done for 25 years. And he's going to help this church do similar things in the natural and the spiritual here. Will John be up here preaching? Thank goodness, no. Just kidding. Just kidding. But we have people up here who have a gift in worship and in music and in singing and playing an instrument. They're up there. And as Elaine said, her husband is on the worship team. Elaine is not. And there's a reason for that. I am not. My gift set is not with administration. It's just not. We have people in this church that have probably been in three or four different churches that Randy and I have led. I have not changed. I still do not have the gift of administration, but other people do. And that does not solely define John and his skill set. He is a caring man. He loves people, and that's part of our DNA. We don't have leaders who don't love people, no matter how gifted we are. It's we love God, and we love people. And so, John, we will be praying for him publicly, not this morning, but he will be serving with the title, and it's hopefully meant to be a descriptive title, executive pastor. You will know, most of you will know, unless you're newish here, my wife's name is Randy. We don't call her, is it First Lady? What do some churches call First Lady? And if you don't call the pastor's wife First Lady, there's trouble in the house. You will call her First Lady in many churches, and that's fine. There's no problem with that. It's not wrong. It's not a Bible phrase, nor is worship pastor, nor is children's pastor, nor is youth pastor. They're not biblical phrases, but they do describe a function. And so John's going to step into that function as an executive pastor. What does that mean? That. And he's not going to be a worship leader. Thank you, Jesus. Because I have heard him sing, we would be on the same bad duet. Second thing that we're going to be implementing and moving into, a second part of the change in moving forward for our next 10 years, we are going to have a couple move here from a foreign country. We have the privilege of a young couple that we have worked with for a number of years, and the couple is Andy and Steph Williams. And Andy and Steph, there's some people who know who they are. Andy's the one on the right, in the back. He's holding Finn and Finn's toys. And Steph is in the back. And that's Toby holding the fire truck, I think, looking at the toys, wanting the other toys. And Andy has been here four different times over the last 6, 7 years. And Andy is the worship pastor currently on staff in Bath, England, in our sister church. He's the worship pastor, Life Church Bath in England. He's been on staff and the full-time on staff leading that congregation in worship for the last 7 years. That's what he's been doing. That's been his function. He has come here on several different occasions and just loved on and blessed and worked with our worship team. And Andy and Steph and their two sons are going to be moving to St. Louis, to St. Peter's, to work in our church as a worship pastor in November. What does that mean? Well, he's going to be the worship pastor of our church. He's also in functional in there. He's going to be an associate pastor, one of the associate pastors, because we haven't been this way before. Have we ever had an associate pastor in this church? No. Nope. We're going to have at least two. This is one of them, Andy and Steph. What is he going to do? What's a worship pastor do? He trains, he strengthens, and equips our worship team leaders and worship team. What else does he do? That's not full time. Is that all he's going to do? He's going to help build team within our worship team. Oh, he's going to help pastor the worship team. Oh, he's going to help support all aspects of encountering Holy Spirit and the broader church family. So it's not just Sunday morning that he's going to have a voice into and an impact into. He's also going to care for a wider group of people as well, because Andy is pastoral, and he's not the new pastor. Is he the new pastor? He's not the new pastor. He's also going to provide some administrative assistance. Churches have a lot of administration, and he does have some administrative capacity, but he's moving here to work with our worship team. And one of the reasons for Andy coming here is he, in our sister church in England, understands our culture here. Our culture is we follow the presence. Our culture here is our leaders lead by serving. We don't do divas. We don't do prima donnas. We don't do dictators. We don't do bullies. We don't do people who lead positionally. We have leaders who lead by permission and lead by loving and lead by serving and lead by grace. That's our DNA. And so for me, bringing anybody in, and specific with our amazing worship team, if they don't have our culture, I don't care how gifted they are. I don't care if they sing like Carrie Job. I don't care if they sing like Carrie Job. I mean, she's pretty amazing. But just a gift. If they don't carry the heart of Jesus in serving and loving and leading through that posture in it, it's not going to work with this church. And I've known Andy for years, worked with him for years. He led, before COVID, he led a worship team in Bath of 45 different people. Traveling internationally, gifted musicians and singers. He built team with them. COVID kind of messed with their worship team and their church because it was England, and they weren't allowed to meet as human beings for 18 months. But Andy has a skill in building team. And the first time I actually saw Andy lead worship, the first three times, I had no idea he was the leader. Because there was lots of people up there, and you're like, who's leading this? Andy was. He is a gifted servant, and he's coming here. He will be here. They will be here middle of November, 15th to 20th, and he will be serving this church, and we're super excited about it. Third and last thing that I would like to talk about as far as buying a passenger van, painting walls, a difference, new thing that we're going to be doing. We're going to be adding a couple to our existing eldership team. And also in November, about the same time, we're going to lay hands and publicly recognize a new couple in addition to our eldership team. It's going to be Greg and Angie Maurer. Could you guys stand, please? Honestly, we're most excited about Angie. I think Greg is her plus one. I don't know how that works. You guys can sit back down. They've been part of the church for several years, and they're servants. They're gifted. We love them. Super excited. Could I have the other elder couples stand real quick and just remain standing for a second? Blocks, Perrymans, Hookers, Randy. If you're newish, again, if you've been coming here for a while, you will understand we're not big on titles at all, ever. But we're really interested. John, keep standing up. Stop whispering. These four couples, this is Rick and Holly Perryman. They're over here. Holly's the one wearing glasses. This is John and Katie Hooker, who we've already mentioned. John and Audrey Block. John's wearing the glasses. And they'll be, Greg and Andrew will be joining these couples. Y'all can sit down. Randy and I serve on the eldership team as well. So that is part of the family growing. And I just want to say this so that we all understand. Our eldership team, it changes over time. It's not a lifetime appointment. We've had amazing people serve on our eldership team. I guarantee you this eldership team that we're currently adding to is going to change over time. It's going to change. It's going to evolve. And it's our function here as leaders, as elders, is to serve, equip, and empower. We don't bully. We don't intimidate. We don't own. We don't tell people what to do. We're here to make people successful. We're here to help people thrive. And that's what we do as an eldership. So those are three things that are happening that I wanted to announce this morning. John Hooker stepping into an administrative capacity. We're going to call it, for title function only, executive pastor. Andy and Steph Williams are going to be moving here, and we're going to be adding, at this point, to the eldership team and the Mowers, which we're certainly excited about. I just want to say something. Randy and I have led churches for 35 years, and different churches, six or seven different ones. And typically, and then I'm going somewhere with this, typically what we have done is we've gone to a church, a struggling church, and we've been sent in to try and help bring a church to a place of health. We've gone into some challenging situations, and that's why we were sent in to certain churches to help bring them to health. We've also planted a couple of churches like this church. So we've done a little bit of both. But what the funny thing for us, we haven't been this way before. Randy and I have not been this way before. We've been here 10 years now. And every other church situation the rest of my life, we've been moving on by 10 years. We put in a leader to replace us like Dan Reynolds in Chicago that we heard earlier. We set in new people and move on and go somewhere else. The Lord isn't doing that with us this time. So that's bad news for some, good news for some. Thank you. Very kind. So I just want to say that we're not implementing something that we always do. Randy and I have never led a church that has had a worship pastor on staff. Never. It's always been just people serving as we have for 10 years. We've never done this before. We've never had and led a church that's ever had an executive pastor. Never. We haven't been this way before, personally, Randy and I. We've never led a church that has had an associate pastor, ever. Ever. But now we are. And there will be more than just Andy Williams, and we're going to talk about that in the next 2 to 4 weeks. We're going to have a second associate pastor just recognized in our midst. And we'll talk about that in the next 2 to 4 weeks. We're excited about that. An associate pastor, all they are is somebody recognized to help the church go forward. We have embarked on an adventure, and Life Church is growing. We are here to continue to love broken people. We are here to facilitate a place where people can encounter Jesus. And we are privileged and blessed at this juncture of our 10 years to begin moving into the community in a new, focused, specific way to reach the school across the street, Fort Zumwalt South High School. We couldn't be more excited. The Early Childhood Learning Center down the road, the middle school and the elementary school in our very neighborhood. We are called at this point to not stop loving broken people, not stop encountering Jesus, but in addition, in an increased heart and urgency to reach people, broken people outside. So we're not stopping what we're doing, we're adding to it. We're going to continue loving broken people. We're going to have the Holy Spirit free moving amongst us, and we're going to love through serving and blessing the community. I couldn't be more excited. We're going to grow an understanding of working as a team. Just one quick illustration, and I'm going to close in 4 minutes in Jesus' name. Like, what is all this about? It's almost like our garden is growing, our garden is expanding, and we need the hose to stretch further to water the garden. And so we're adding things to what we're already doing so that we can water the rest of the new garden. The way we've watered so far has been great. But the family is growing, so we need more water to other places in the garden. So why are we doing these little changes? To garden, to water the rest of the garden that's growing. Couldn't be more excited about it. So what is changing? We're removing bottlenecks of communication by adding multiple points of communication so that we understand why and where we're going. More clarity on church direction. We're taking some of the weight of responsibility off Randy and I so that we can do what we're equipped to do and other people can be great at what they're great to do, to function and their true skill sets so Randy and I can more focus on our true skill sets. What is not changing? Randy and I are not leaving. We are continue leading this church in a pastoral oversight and function. Thank you. And those who lead, and what's not changing, those who currently lead in their areas of responsibility, the Newtons are still going to be in charge. He's going to still be the youth pastor. Mike and Lauren are still going to be doing what they do. Children's church team is going to do what they do. The Layers are still going to... People are still doing what they're doing. We're adding, not taking away. We're adding and not demoting anyone. Our church vision will continue to have clarity and more clarity. We'll still be very much part of Life Streams. There's so much change. Most of this change you're not going to see. In fact, the only change that you're going to see is going to be another British person in addition to Ben. There's going to be another British person on the stage. Another male British voice. Not Sting, but Andy. There's so much change. You're not going to see any of it except one person on the stage. But you're going to feel the impact of blessing over the next months and years. You're going to feel it and sense it. So what do? I would ask you, can we please pray for these people? What do? Please pray for these people. Number two, what do? Please give words. Be generous with words of encouragement. Say what you see when you see someone doing something amazing. I love the way JC does this. Could you tell him? Because I hear people saying, that JC is amazing. I love him. Does he hear that? Let's be generous with our words of encouragement. What do? Encourage one another. Three, when Andy and Steph come, warmly welcome them. They're leaving their mom and dad. Their kids are leaving and losing grandma and grandpa. We moved overseas twice where we didn't have grandparents. We didn't have longtime friends. We didn't have siblings helping us. And we felt the lack of that in one church in particular. We were just on our own. Can we love them generously when they come and help make up for what they're feeling? Second or fourth, ask questions. What's going on? Ask questions. Can we pray? Yes. Father, I thank you for the family growing. I thank you for new growth. We see the garden blossoming over here, over there. We see beauty and bounty in our youth group. Thank you, King Jesus. Bless what's happening in our youth group. Give Stephen insight and wisdom with his team, with his wife, to continue seeing kids healed and whole, born again, saved and delivered from all kinds of ugliness that the world has to offer. Help us go forward in peace. Help us be people who communicate well, love well, make room for each other, that we would empower others to be successful. But Holy Spirit, we want to listen to you. With the ark out front, with the presence out front, our eyes want to be on you, King Jesus. We want to hear you, see you, and experience you. And going forward over the next 10 years, help us, bless us, and we speak life over this church family. Yes. Life, life, life. And thank you, Jesus, and help us to engage other church families in the area, that we could lock arms with the church family abroad, that we could take the kingdom forward together with other church families. Bless us in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Have an amazing day. Have the prayer team, if you'd like to have someone stand with you for prayer, could you please come up? We would love to pray with you, stand with you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.